The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, 22nd day of May, 2013. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow up 118 points, the S&P up 12, the comp up 20, gold down $2.60, and crude off $1.17. Now, gold was up $30 earlier today. The markets have just been, well, what can we say? This is, hang on, my screen's clouded with an incoming message. Michael, if you're there, can you take this chat coming in from around the world? I'm transferring it to you. All right, sorry, guys. What did I say? Oh, yeah, the Dow's up 118, the S&P's up 12, the comp is up 20, gold is down $2.60, crude is off $1.17. The markets have been going crazy. Bernanke's talking. He's being very dovish. Do you know what that means as opposed to hawkish? Let me explain. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke signaled that monetary policy will remain loose as a goose, and it gave stocks a lift today, paving the way for many indexes to advance to new record all-time highs. Right there. If you can't see my chart, go to the homepage at cfrn.net. On the right-hand side of the page, click the big microphone. That'll take you to a page, give you some instructions. Follow the instructions. You can see the charts and participate in the discussion. We all have to register once a month, and it's hard to imagine, but I'm saying this. In a couple days, we'll have to register again. It seems like yesterday I said, hey, guys, you got to register May 1st. Now I'm saying you got to register June 1st. Pretty soon I'll be saying December 1st. Time flies. So following a run of upbeat U.S. economic news largely related to housing and jobs, there had been talk in the markets that the Fed might soon put a brake on its super easy monetary policy, which has boosted liquidity in financial markets over the past few years. The Fed is currently making $85 billion in bond purchases every month to encourage lending and spur the U.S. economic recovery. Though a number of economic indicators have improved, the U.S. economy isn't posting historically high growth rates, and unemployment is relatively high, above 7%, despite consistent falls in recent months. Though Bernanke said that keeping interest rates low for a long time can unbalance the financial system, he warned that a change in policy now could carry a substantial risk of slowing or ending the economic recovery and causing inflation to fall further. So what did the markets do? They said, whoopee, and they ran to all-time historic highs, and just as quickly, they reversed. Okay. Now, look at this doji right here. That's a 15-point doji. I don't know that I've ever seen a 15-point doji. Maybe at a Fed announcement, and we kind of had a Fed announcement today with Bernanke saying we're going to stay loose as a goose for some time to come. But that's not official policy. That's just him talking. But the markets liked it, and then suddenly they maybe didn't like it so much. They were concerned, and then they bounced. Now, I'm going to be honest. When we came off of this doji, I said in the trading room, in front of God and everybody, I said, you know what? That is bearish, very bearish, that we came off of that so quickly. I think we're going to go back down to test the zone below us, 67, 68. Now, I made that statement while I was up to my elbows in some other work. I was kind of glancing over my shoulder at the chart. Now, I said it, so I have to own it, okay? But let me show you what I should have said. That hour closed right there, okay? See the low of this candle? Very, very important. The low of the doji, okay? What I should have said, but I didn't say, is that if we break the low of this candle, once we started this new candle, and it started out with a little red body, I should have said, if we break the low of this candle, that's when you want to be short back down to the zone, okay? However, I didn't. And now, I said this could be a continuation signal in a different context. But in this context, at all-time historic highs, I don't see how it could be a continuation signal. And so far, it really hasn't proven to be a continuation, because in order for it to be a continuation, we would need to put in higher prices, okay? Now, we've still got another zone to go. It's way up there. It would really be something if we got there actually this entire week, but we could get there by Thursday or Friday. What's going to be interesting, see, this thing got slapped down hard. I mean, it got up there there's people trapped up here. They bought this thing, they go, oh my, this is it, this is the big one, this is a runaway market, I better get on board now or I'll never get a chance to buy at these prices again. They're sitting up there going, what the heck happened? They were left holding the bag. Okay. Now what happens is this price, if it can work its way back up there, you got all these people waiting to unload that baggage. Okay. That depresses the market a second or third or fourth time. Am I saying it can't break through that? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's going to have to really work hard, because there's some unhappy campers perched atop this thing up here. Okay. Now, some of them are just going to cut their losses, get stopped. Some of them are already stopped out, but some of them aren't. You know how it is. Some people don't trade with a stock. Some people are just holding on and hoping and praying. Okay, hoping and praying is a very good thing. It's just not a great trading strategy. Okay. Speaking of hoping and praying, let's go to our good word for the day. Today it comes from Matthew 6:21. It may sound familiar because I quoted this the other day, but I do believe I was quoting from a different gospel. Okay, might have been Mark or Luke. Nonetheless, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. Now let's imagine that Jesus walked up to you and said, "Hey, I want to take a look at your books." Huh? I'm sorry, what? Jesus? Yeah, I want to see your books. Let me see your investments, your paychecks. Oh, and let me see your checkbook. I want to see how you're spending your money. You know, the money I made you steward over? Yeah, hey, give me your checkbook. I want to see what's in the register. Oh, you don't keep a register? Okay. Now, I'm making light, but what if that really did happen? What if Jesus did ask to see your books, your checkbook? What would he find? Would he look at your books and say, "Salvation has truly come to this house. I can tell where your heart is by how you manage your money." Is that what he would say to you? Or would he look you in the eye and say, "Hey, you profess to be a Christian, but there's nothing in the books that indicates you are. You know, you may profess to be a follower, but in reality, looks to me like you're in bondage to your money and to your possessions." I can also imagine Jesus adding, "But I have good news." He was always one to bring good news, right? "If you'll trust me for salvation, I will give you the Holy Spirit to empower you with an inner want to become a good manager of what I entrust to you. If you'll trust me fully, I'll put you on the road to financial freedom, where you will no longer be living in financial slavery so evident right here in your books. Won't you trust me?" My friend, that's the question that Jesus is asking you today. Do you trust him? Especially when it comes to your money and your possessions. Remember, it all belongs to him. He just asked you to watch it till he gets back. Or are you afraid to let it go? Will you trust him, or are you afraid to let it go? What does the audit on your books say? And you don't have to tell me. That's a rhetorical question. And that is our painfully good word for the day. All right, back to the charts. We ran into resistance at 78.79, and you'll notice that on an hourly chart, which this is, we've yet to close hourly above this weekly trading zone. We did run up this all-time historic high at 85.75, got knocked back down, closed inside of the weekly zone at 78.79, and now we've opened the new hour. We opened inside of the zone, and we're trading slightly below it. We had a tweet last night, said to consider being long above 16.74. That tweet from 74 led us up to this high at 86. So the market made a lot of points available. And then late last night, as I was studying the charts just before retiring, I said, I know a lot of people are wondering, because we were down here. We were trading right along this weekly zone here. People are going, "Hey, how come I got to wait until 74 to get in? Why can't I get in on the road to 74? I studied it a little bit. I didn't see any real obstacles in the way, so I sent out another tweet that said, "You're probably wondering, is it okay to fade the move or fade the tweet from 70 to 73? The answer is yes. Go ahead if you want to." And so for those who chose to follow that, you were in at 70 up to 73, and then the main attraction kicked in, 74, which took us all the way up to this 86. All told, from the 70 to the swing high, there was the market made 16 points available. And that's an important thing to point out. We don't make the points available. Our indicators don't make them available. The market makes the points available. All we can do is shine a light into the darkness and say, hey, over there might be some points for you. Okay? And that's what we did here. There might be some points above 70 and then again above 74. And sure enough, we found a few points. All right? So that's it for charts. I think I've only got one piece of news, and then we're going to go straight to the recap.
Excellent.
Let me see. Is that excellent?
That is excellent.
All right.
Right into that.
Cricut is launching the Galaxy S4 on June 7th. And why is that news? Well, because you can pick one up for $55. Now, it's not quite as cheap as it sounds. The Galaxy S4 is now readily available in the U.S., but it hasn't had much sway with the prepaid crowd so far. Now, the reason being is because the thing costs $600. It's an iPhone, except it's an Android. They say it rivals the iPhone. It looks pretty nice. I got to hand it to them. Now, here's what Cricut is doing that's going to put the Galaxy S4 into the hands of lots and lots of people. Once Cricut rolls it out on June 7th, the contract-free carrier is going to let you buy the Galaxy S4 on credit. That's right. They don't have contracts at Cricut for your monthly service. That's a month-to-month service. But they are going to sell you the phone on the installment plan. You put $55 down, and then you pay it off over, I'm not sure how many months they're going to break that out. But if you live inside of one of Cricut's LTE coverage areas, you should be able to pick up a GS4 for just $55 down beginning June 7th. And for those who refuse to use an iPhone just because this is Samsung's answer, you know, they've been battling it out in the courts now forever. And this is said to be a very, very good phone. I got to tell you, I don't care if it's $600 or $900. It's not an iPhone, okay? I used to say that about Mercedes until they cheapened their brand and started to do just weird stuff. You used to be able to say that about a Mercedes. Hey, you know, it's a great car over there, but it's not a Mercedes. Now you go, well, that's a great car, but it's not a Mercedes, and that car is glad it's not a Mercedes, because some of the new Mercedes, I don't know, what happened? That was just, there was a timeless elegance about the Mercedes, and then they messed it all up. And now, I don't know, now it doesn't even matter anymore. That's the only car that ever made my heart go thumpity thump, was the SL450. I owned one, I drove one, I looked good in one, and then I got rid of it, and I got a moped. It was a personal thing I was going through, my own Gandhi years, and I just needed to downsize. And my employees thought I was stone cold crazy to go from a 450 SL convertible to a moped, but I was making a silent statement. And you know what? Maybe not so silent. But I made my statement, and it was a great car, and I really enjoyed it. But I moved on, you know? And then the brand... Probably in my golden years, I would have wanted to go back to the Mercedes to ride out those golden years, but not now. It's not the same. Just not the same. So, and they say that's going to happen to the iPhone. They're coming out with a cheap iPhone. They're going to make them out of plastic. Steve Jobs is rolling over. I'm telling you. He's rolling over. All right, Michael, it's all yours. Take it away.
All right.
I'm done. I've had enough.
Good. Let me grab it, and I'll give you a little respite. There we go. Should be looking at my charts momentarily. There they are.
There they are.
Now? Good.
All right, I'll see you in a few.
All right, we'll see you in a few. Spreadsheet. Let me bring up the spreadsheet. Okay. Ta-da. start the recording. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is the 22nd day of May, 2013. Let's see. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of May, 2013. Let's get right into the results here, okay? We had 39 ticks profit on gold, 8 ticks profit on crude oil, and 8 ticks profit on copper, and 4 ticks profit on the Russell. It was a pretty good day. We were up better than that at one point, but, you know, I don't win every single trade. That puts us, let's just go through it here. The 22nd of May, we were up 4 ticks on the Russell, 8 ticks on crude oil, 39 ticks on gold, and 8 ticks on copper. All right. It took us 38 minutes and 4 trades to get to plus $190 a contract. That was our 2 points for the day. We had 15 trades overall on the day today. I was saying there was a lot of volatility today, so we had more trades than normal today. The average number of trades is about 11. But we were up, you know, today and yesterday we had a lot of volatility, so we had a few extra trades in there. On the month, we are up $5,020 as of right now. Our goal is to get up above $5,392.50. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that tomorrow, but we don't know. All right, so far on the month, we've taken 188 trades. We're up $5,020 gross. If you apply an $8 per turn commission to each trade that we took, and I know $8 is high, you would still be up a net of $3,516. Our big winner on the month is clearly gold right here. It's multiples of the other ones. You know, today and yesterday we had some big numbers on gold. Actually, all during the month, gold has been really, really jumpy. So, you know, getting in a trade and getting some good yardage out of a gold trade isn't that hard to do right now. The sad part is if it goes against you, because there's two sides to that coin. But you know, if you use in our indicators and in our trade setups and what we teach you in the live trading room and throughout the whole mentoring package, then you should be on the proper side of that, like I am most of the time. That said, we did have a partner today, James, who in the partners meeting. If he lets me, I'll show everybody what he was doing. He sent me a whole bunch of screenshots today. But he was up over $2,000 on gold today per contract. There's big moves in gold. Big moves in gold. All right. Now, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. There's a big move on gold right there. Sign up for the free trial, okay? In the free trial, you will get access to everything that we have here in the live trading room. You know, all the charting platform, the indicators, you know, Duane and myself, the live trading room. You'll get access to everything except the weekly partners meetings and the members area, okay? You will not get those things. Speaking of that, there is a partners meeting tomorrow night, 9 p.m. The revised version of the CFPB flow, or CFflow PB, the revised version of that. I will have that for you guys in the partners meeting tomorrow night. I just wanted to give you all a bigger look at some of the things here that with the CFflow PB, it's really something, you know, it is. I don't mind saying that, even though I'm a little biased. You know, if you just take off these other things, would you look at that? If you went long here, you went really well. If you went short here, you did well. If you went long here, you did well. If you went short here, you did okay. These are 8-tick bars. So each one of these bars is $80 per contract. If you went long here, you did well. No short in here. If you went long here, you did well. If you went short here, stop to break even. So you're out of that at break even. If you went long here, this one you would have stopped out on. There had to be one. But if you went short there, you did well. Again, if you went long here, you would have stopped out. There's two. If you went long here, though, you would have done well. Looks pretty, looks pretty simple, doesn't it? Anyway, we should have the most recent version of that, in the partners meeting tomorrow night, alright, for all the partners to grab. I do want to put the things back on here so I can go through the trades on gold, but we did well today. All right, I think we're up over $600 a contract at the end of the morning session. We were up $390 a contract on gold, at $80 a contract on crude. That puts us up $470. Add $100 a contract on copper. That's $570. And add $40 on the Russell. That puts us up $610 a contract today. And right at the end of the day, we gave back $100 on copper too. So if I hadn't taken that trade, we would have been up even better. Now, let me just run through the trades that we took here today, okay? If you are on the free trial and you want to become a partner, you want to get into that partners meeting tomorrow night, you should have something in your inbox right now. If you were on the free trial yesterday, you should have something in your inbox right now from yesterday afternoon that tells you how to become a partner. Okay? If you want to become a partner, you need to take care of that. If you don't have it in your inbox, or if you weren't on the trial yesterday or you weren't there yesterday, just send us a quick email at support@cfrn.net with the words partner info in it, and we will ship it off to you as quickly as we can. All right. Now, this is gold. You can see gold was just bouncing all over the place this morning. This is gold on the 4-tick range chart. We missed a ton of trades, clearly. We missed tons and tons of trades. We got long here. This was our very first trade. I made a mistake on this first trade because I went long when the black line was below the BBC. I took a 1-tick stop out on that. Okay, 1-tick loss on that. Everything flipped around and dropped down over here. We didn't have any trade right in here. There was a shorting opportunity right in here. Would have been a break-even trade. Nothing in here as it went sideways. Right here, nothing because we needed to close up above this level. So there was nothing through all this right here. Okay? Until it got over here. Right in here is when you started having more trades. Okay, there was a long trade in there. There was a long trade right here. There was a long trade right there. Nothing here on the short side. More long trades. Nope, nothing there, sorry. Long trade right here. You see, I was looking down here at the bottom for the divergence. Right in here, we didn't have bullish divergence, so there was no trading right in here. But right up here, it pulled back a little bit, gave an up close with the bullish divergence down there. There was a long trade there, followed up by another one right there, and another one right over here. So on this move up right here, you know, you should have been able to capture several ticks. When it changed directions and it started moving down, you would have been looking to get short. The first spot would have been right here, okay, with the bearish divergence, because when you're drawing these trend lines, drawing it up here, you're looking for a down close below the trend line, and you get this wick, so you would have been drawing it sideways practically like this. This was the first down close. So right there, you would have shorted, taken some profit, down close of that. Nope, you would have needed a down close below that, which would have been right here for another possible shorting opportunity. It changed directions, but you didn't have any opportunity to get long. It changed directions again, no opportunity to get short. So right in here, through all this stuff where it was all choppy and going back and forth, there were no trades. There were no trades in there until you get right over here. All right, right here, there's a shorting opportunity. I would have gotten a break even on it. It did go down about 8 or 10 ticks, but I would have gotten a break even on it. It changed directions. News events came in right here. High impact news events came in. Changed directions. There was an opportunity to get long. Nothing right in here. Then I would have been looking for a higher swing before I got long on this again. All right, we didn't get the higher swing until way over here. So there was an up close above the trend line right here that I would have been looking at for a long trade. All this chop in here, nothing. Okay. Big move up, still no opportunity right there. Pull down, tested the BBC with an up close, but the trend line was like this. So still really nothing in here as it chops sideways. Now, when all this is happening, this is from 10:06 to 10:07. There's no way to get into this. All right. Then gold just started to run. Now you can see 10.08 to 10.09. There were a bunch of opportunities to short on the way down here, but you would have had to have been right on top of your game to get that, to get into that market. All right. We had a big giant head and shoulders right in here. And there's a shoulder, there's a shoulder. When it broke that shoulder or the neckline right here, it really tanked. Okay. It dropped down significantly. And if you look at that on a larger time frame, you know, it's a huge drop and it's easier to see on a larger time frame. Either way, there was divergence in here, so there was opportunity to short the thing. When it got sideways in here, there was a bullish divergence and prices trading below the BBC, so there's no trading in there. Dropped down in here again. There was only one spot where we had bearish divergence to short right in here. Changed directions. Now you have bullish divergence. You could have gotten long right in there, long right in here. Changed directions again. You have bearish divergence down here, so there were opportunities to short. Change directions again. There was no place to go long in here. Let's see, we had bullish divergence right in here. Wait, we had bearish divergence over here. There was a spot. I wouldn't have shorted here. I mean, it would have been a winning trade if you did short it, but I wouldn't have shorted here because we didn't have a lower swing. We finally got a higher swing over here. Tested the BBC with an up close, and up it went. Bearish over here, down close, and down it went. Again, down close, and down it went. Right here, long trade, okay. Right here was a long trade that would have been a break even. And this was gold. Now I'm not going to go through the whole thing. It's going to take me forever to go through this. But we had a long trade in here. We had a long trade in here. We missed, obviously we missed a ton of these things. But we had, now we had, how many trades did we have on gold? Four trades, it looks like. So back here at the beginning of the day, we had that first one that made a mistake. Then I didn't do anything on gold for quite a while until that long one over here. And I'm spending a lot of time on gold here. That long trade right there, okay, that was a 21 tick trade. That put us up 20. This put us up 30. And then right at the end of the day, I had that one for a 9 tick gain. All right. Then as I was closing the morning session, I know some of the partners grabbed these long trades right in here. Well, I had a one partner anyway, grabbed that right there. And since then, it's just been jumping around, right? It's that. You can start by just doubling it if you want, Keith. You could start by just going to an 8-tick range. Okay? And you use all the same setups. Everything's the same except the risk and the target. You know, your risk would have to be 16 ticks, but your target would also be a lot bigger. You know, when you're looking at stuff like this, the question was what time frame would I go to or what tick chart would I go to if we're going to look at a larger time frame because it was too fast. Now, right here, let's say you entered short right here on an 8-tick range chart. Your risk would have to be 16 ticks. So you'd be in here at 73.4. Okay, your risk would have to be at 75 up here. Okay. But from 73.4, you know, before it even started to pull back right down here, it dropped all the way down to 70. So that's $340 a contract right there before it even started to slow down. Okay. And, you know, you're using the same exact trade setups over and over and over again. See, now some of them even overlapped in here. You'd be drawing your trend lines, looking for the up close. You'd be drawing, you know, looking for the bounce off the BBC with the down close. All the same stuff over and over again. Okay. That was gold. We were plus 39 ticks on gold on four trades today. I am hoping my gold chart's going to go away. There we go. Let me move it over here to the side, and we'll grab the Russell. All right. We were only up four ticks on the Russell, but it's just been tanking right in here. Okay. And Jerry F. Fry. Here's the head. All right. It was building a shoulder in here this whole time. It put in the head. It needs to build another shoulder over here. The neckline is still right down here at 70, 75. All right. It looks like it's actually broken the neckline. So you should see a big move down, I would think. Sorry, that was a continuation from this morning. Let's see. On the Russell, we only took a couple of trades on the Russell. Yeah, two of them. Yep, that's it. That goes into yesterday. You know, there was opportunity here on the Russell this morning, but I had a charting issue for about, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes, and Dwayne took the charts, so I had missed some stuff. Right here was a short on the Russell at 10:30. Here was another one at 10:30. Those were great opportunities to get short and take some good profit, all right? It turned around, changed directions. I got into this long right over here, and I believe I got 4 ticks profit on that. I missed this one over here. I took this one, and I got a break even on that. Those are my two trades on the Russell today. The ES was, for a little while, well, not a very long while, for a short while, it was going into a weekly trading zone. So there were some things that we couldn't trade on the Russell because we had to wait for that. But right now, it just had this huge move down here while I've been doing this recap. And, you know, you test the BBC and give a down close right there with bearish divergence in a red cycle. So you could have shorted it way up here, okay? Could have also shorted it right here. So there's two spots here where you could have shorted this. Oh, there's more than two, actually. There's that one. And that one. And let's see. If you missed all that and you just wanted to short it for the last point down into the zone, you could have shorted it right here on this down close right there. All right. Now it should get right down here to 1,000 again. That magical number. All right. That was the Russell today. I did the gold already. Did I do crude oil? I think I missed crude oil. Let's do crude. We're up. We took some trades on crude, and we're up a little bit on crude. All right. Sliding over and over and over and over and over and over. All right. You can see here in the pre-market, there was a lot of movement on crude. Crude inventories came out today. And Bernanke also spoke today, so that there was a lot of things moving the markets around today. I didn't do anything in here on crude this morning, but there was a ton to be done. Clearly, if you look down here at the bottom and you have all these divergences and the market is dropping like this, there is a trade set up here. You know, and when it's happening live, all this stuff is happening. You can see it coming together. You know, once you know what you're looking for, you can see all this stuff coming together. It's not that complicated. And now that we have the new paint bars, I mean, look at this on gold. It went orange here. And look at that. It went orange all the way up here. The same thing here on crude oil. If it was too fast for you at the 4-tick range level and you wanted to, you can just flip it to an 8-tick range and, you know, it's just good. It just nails it again and again and again. Let me go over some of the trades we took here on crude, and then I will get into other stuff. I took one soybean trade today. Let's see. I took a trade right here on crude. I got a break even on it. That was my first trade. Took a break even on that one, and I missed all this when it was moving up in here. I was having some issues. And, right in here, there was a shorting opportunity there and a shorting opportunity there, both of which worked out very well. Another shorting opportunity right here and another one right here. Okay. There was also one right here that didn't work out. All right. That might have stopped you out. Let's see. I was looking for an opportunity to get short in here, and by the time it came together, there was no room to move down here. Okay. There was a short right in there that worked out well. Then all the divergence changed to the other side, so you had no opportunities in there. Switch directions. Right here, a long opportunity. Okay. A very small long opportunity right there. Change directions again, a short opportunity there. We actually jumped into this one, took 4 ticks profit. We jumped into this one, took a little bit more profit. Missed that one, took this one for a little bit more profit. And we missed that one. And that was pretty much it on crude oil for the morning. Now, crude, just like gold, crude was really jumpy today. So it was a good market to trade. Nice volatility in the crude oil. All right, the NQ. I didn't say much about the NQ because there was so much else going on. I wasn't focused on the NQ. There was one spot on the NQ that I mentioned this morning. I'm trying to find it. There it is. I said right here, you have a long on and up close here. And if you got long there, that was at 32.5. And from 32.5, it went all the way up to 53.40. So what is that? 400? No, it's 800 and something dollars a contract, that move on the NQ. And, you know, when the NQ is, it's 40 bucks a point, and that was 20, let's just call it 21 points. So it's $840 a contract is what that move would have been. If you, you know, obviously if you took the whole thing, but nobody would have done that. The downside, there were more opportunities here on the downside. Well, right in here, anyway. There was an opportunity to short, and right over here there were opportunities to short. I'm just looking at the divergence down here. Now, in here there was a bunch of chop. Price was trading below the BBC, and you had bullish divergence, so there's no trading. There's just chop. In here was an opportunity to get long. Right in here with the bearish divergence, opportunities to get short there, and right in here. All right. And did that wrap it up? Nope, it started to go up in here. There are a couple opportunities to get long in there on that move up. Choppy down. It started to go down. There was nothing right up here at the top. It was right in. Yeah, nothing in there either. I would have waited. Right over here is probably where I would have been getting short on this, if I were shorting it at all. But that was outside the live trading room window. I took one trade on soybeans this morning. It ended up being a break even. It came so close to stopping me out. I was in this trade forever. For me, I was in this trade for like a half an hour. And it took forever for the thing to get back up to break even. And then it gave 4 ticks profit. I moved my stop up to break even. And it came back and stopped me out. And right after it stopped me out at break even, it ran all the way up there like that. And that was it. We stopped watching soybeans for the most part after that because it was pretty messy. The way it's coming together right here, if you guys are watching it, we have bearish divergence. We have red on the cycle. We either need a test of the BBC and a down close or just a down close below this trend line. That's what we need on soybeans. The ES was moving all over the place today. We didn't take any trades on the ES, but there were certainly trades to be taken. We pointed out a couple of them. The first one was right here, was a long trade that went all the way up to the weekly trading zone, through the weekly trading zone, head and shoulders pattern. Here's a head, here's a shoulder, neckline broke, and it dropped all the way down here. We pointed out a shorting opportunity here. This was after the fact, but there was a shorting opportunity there as well on the way down. There was another one right in here on the way down. Okay, and another one right here on the way back up to the weekly trading zone. Okay, currently you have bearish divergence, you have blue on the cycle. You have to draw a trend line. You need a down close below that trend line. All right, a down close below that trend line. That was it over there. On this one, this is copper. We took a couple of trades in copper today. A few trades in copper. We took this one right here. Did I show that many? Yeah, I did. Okay, I counted 4 trades. We took this one right here that ended up being a break-even trade. Right after we took that, obviously, it ran up. The next trade that we took was right here. We got long in here, and it ran up 16 ticks. Okay? That was a nice opportunity. We missed this short opportunity here on the way down. And, you know, there were a couple other opportunities in here, but I didn't like the divergence, so I wasn't looking to take them. Over here, we had better divergence, but I missed that opportunity. Changed directions, and I got in here. I got long, and I ended up taking a break-even on this. It ended up going up nicely, even though I took a break-even. Then the very next trade, this was right before the close of the live trading room this morning. I went long on this bar right here, and it stopped me out to the tick, pretty much, before it moved up. Currently, you know, there was another shorting opportunity right there on copper. Currently, it's testing the BBC. It needs a down close below this trend line that I'm going to draw. This is the trend line as it stands. So a down close below that trend line. A down close of this bar right here would be a spot to short the copper right there. So there's a copper short right there at 38.15 or 38.10. Okay. Let's look at the euro. The euro jumped all over the place today, too. We pointed out a couple of spots. This was after the fact this morning. I might have pointed this one out, but all these were after the fact. I might have not even pointed that one out. I don't remember. I think I pointed this one out in the live trading room. Yeah, I think that's the one I pointed out in the live trading room, and all these were after the fact. You know, they were all there. If you were watching it, you could have traded it, but I wasn't watching it. There was a long opportunity in here, a bullish divergence to close above the trend line right there. You needed a higher swing to take another one. There was one right here, close above the trend line right in there. Then it changed directions. If you were looking to short it, you would have shorted it right here, probably stopped out right there. Okay, it changed directions again. If you were looking to go long, right in here is where you would have gone long for a nice move up. Then a win, a win, a win, a win. Tested the BBC with a down close below it right here for another one. And change directions again for the move up. All right. Change directions again, drop through the weekly trading zone, and wow, went zone to zone to zone. Actually, didn't it? Yeah, it did. Look at that. Look at that. It started way up here, and it went from this weekly trading zone to this weekly trading zone. Then from that weekly trading zone down to this weekly trading zone. So it passed through two zones today. That's a big move. And that was the euro. Now, I believe I covered everything, right? Pretty sure. What did I say on soybeans? We needed a down close below that line on soybeans. On whatever this is, the ES, we needed a down close below that line. On the copper, I had said the entry was actually right here at 38.15 or 38.10. That's now dropped all the way down to 37.90, 37.85. So that is from 38.15 to 37.85, that's what, 30 basis points, that's 6 ticks. That's the equivalent of a point and a half in the ES. All right, look for the green line to get down into the cycle. That's what you expect. All right, with that, I am going to wrap up my recording here, guys. I've been going for a while. We had a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, the more volatility there is, the more trades we're going to have. And, you know, without overtrading, we still managed to do pretty well today. All right. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. If you have taken a free trial with us and you want to become a partner, send us an email at support@cfrn.net. Just say partner info in it, and we'll send you the information you need. Okay. If you are on the free trial right now and you don't have the information you need to become a partner, again, just send us an email at support@cfrn.net, or you can call me at 949-423-6464. Again, that's 949-423-6464. Okay, if I can't pick it up, just leave me a voicemail, and I will get back to you. All right? That's it, guys. We're up $610 a contract today, even though we ended up missing, you know, 30 minutes of the whole thing. And there was a lot more than that to be had. You know, we have one partner that grabbed over $2,000 a contract today on gold alone. There's a lot more to be had. All right. The ES just gave the down close below that trend line. Look for the green line to get down into the cycle. The copper, look for the green line to get down into the cycle. The NQ had a long trade over here. Soybeans have nothing. So we're going to drop it with that. All right. We're up $5,020 per contract so far in the month of May. And with that, I shut the recording off. All right. Let's head out to Vegas. Here's the spreadsheet.
Okay. Here we go. Thanks very much, Michael. Right. So what was the I was editing all those pages that got sent to us. I'm almost done, so you don't have to worry about those. But what was the final tally on the room this morning? What was the recap?
We were plus $610 a contract.
Okay. All right. Is there anybody in the audience? We say that every day, and we just kind of just say it, and we assume that everybody understands it and follows it. Is there anybody that, and every now and then somebody will type in, what does that even mean, X number of dollars per contract? What does that mean? Is there anybody in the audience right now that has that question? New people?
Well, you know what? People may be shy, so why don't I just go over it?
Okay.
Hey, great. Somebody's
there. There was a question earlier that I wanted to. Giovanni, I see your question about the tweets, and I'll go over those just real briefly here in a moment. Basically, follow us on Twitter, CFRN. Go to twitter.com/CFRN. Click follow. You got to have your own Twitter account. They're free. I'll help you get it set up if you need help. And then as I see opportunities in the market, I tweet it out to folks, and we've had I'll show you. When I take the charts back, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4 very nice tweets so far this week. Today's only Wednesday, so we're on a roll. But let Michael finish with what he's doing, and then when I take the charts back, I'll show you, okay? Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. What that means, when I say per contract, like if you look at any one of these days right here, in gold, or any one of these, for that matter. 10 ticks in gold is $100 per contract. What that means is, in the live trading room, I trade with one contract. You could trade with two, you could trade with 10, I could trade with 10, but I don't. I trade with one in the live trading room, because that's what I want you guys to do when you're starting out. And, you know, once you get to the point where you can add more, once you've made enough money so that you can add more out of your winnings and risk winnings now and not risk your initial capital, then you can do that. But I use one contract in the live trading room because I don't want anybody to jump ahead before they should. Okay? So all the trading that I do on every single market is one contract. So all the results that you see, this $5,020, when I say per contract, that means I did it all trading one single contract. All right. Now, it wasn't just one single contract on gold or one contract. You know, it was one contract per market when I'm in a market. Okay. Now, there are times that I might be in more than one market at a time. Like today, for instance, I was in a copper trade and I was in a soybean trade at the same time. And both trades were going against me for quite a while. And I ended up break even on both of them. Actually, they both came back. It was right before the news came out at 10 o'clock. I was long at about 9:54, and they were both down pretty far, about 5 or 6 ticks against me, and then the news came out, and then they both started to go in favor of me. And I had moved my stop to break even on both trades once it had enough profit in it, and both trades came back and took me out at break even. In that case, I had one contract in each market on, okay? Does that make sense? Does that answer the question? So when you come and trade, let's say you're a new partner and you start out with CFRN and you open your account at Daniel's Trading, and let's say you put $5,000 in your account. Okay, with $5,000 you can trade any one of these things that I trade right now with the margins set the way they are. You can trade any one of the things that I trade right now. Intraday, okay? You can't trade them overnight, but you can trade them intraday. The day trade margins are less than that. So you could put one contract on when I do if you want, or, you know, whenever you see a trade set up if you want. You can open a trade, a position, with one contract. With that, you control a certain amount of that commodity, whichever one it is. You know, with gold, it's a certain number of ounces of gold. With crude, it's a certain number of barrels of oil. With the indexes, it's really a dollar amount. With beans, it's a certain number of bushels. That kind of stuff, all right, with commodities. But you have one contract. If you want to use two contracts, you know, you can. In most markets, you can. Gold has got the highest day trading margins. But let's say with a $5,000 account, with most of the things that we trade, you could put two contracts on if you wanted to. All right. And then the numbers would be double. So, like, right here where it says 10 ticks on gold, I did that with one contract. If you had two contracts on, your actual price gain would still have been 10 ticks per contract, but because you had two contracts on, your monetary gain would have been double that. Okay? So you would have had $200 a contract instead of $100 a contract. Of course, you're risking twice as much as well. So that's it. Hopefully I didn't confuse the matter. I tend to do that when I explain things in detail. Did you understand all that? I do better with drawings. Here, I'll draw a picture. Okay. With that, Dwayne, I think I'll go back to you.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, I'll grab the charts.
Okay.
Okay, you got my charts?
Yep, got them.
Okay, so Giovanni, here's what happens is when I send out a tweet, I'll show you what they look like. Let me get a browser window open. Hey, have you played with that Axis browser I told you about?
I have not.
It's kind of interesting. You know what? I think it'll pop up inside of this one here when I get it open. Let me see. Let's go to the tweeter. Okay. Still accessing. Wonder why I didn't open in this one. It's a browser inside of a browser. Maybe it'll kick in here in a minute. Maybe it has to load. Come on. Okay, yeah, here we go. See this little thing down here? See this little bar at the bottom, Mike?
I do.
Okay, when you open a browser window, this thing pops up inside, okay? And now let's say, for instance, I wanted to Google day trading rules and risk management. Don't know why I might want to do that, but let's say I wanted to search. Look what happens. A window pops up inside of a window. Let me just try something else, like, I don't know, day trading rules part 2. See, it pops this stuff up inside, and then if you decide that's really what you want to look at, then you can click on it and go there. See what I'm saying? It's kind of a, I don't know that I'm going to keep it, but I actually got it from my, for the tablet, and then the desktop version works entirely different. But I've gotten way off of a task here. So I'm going to, Giovanni, this is the Twitter. Now if I go to the tweets, now the best thing to do is to follow me on Seeking Alpha, because that way you get an email and the tweet, okay? And I'll show you how to do, I'll put that link in the room here in a minute. So, yesterday we had said, I'm just going to point out the last one. We are positioned for our next tweet as discussed on the radio today. We talked about this at the end of the show. Consider being long about 1674 or short below 1664. And so, here's the 64. So, as we went up through there, that triggered that tweet. And so, from 74 up to 86 is a 12-point move. Okay. Now, last night around midnight, I was sitting here studying the charts, and I said, you know, people are probably wondering, now that we'd held support here for a couple of hours, I was up late, and we were holding nicely here in this zone. See, 1, 2, 3, 4 hours in the zone, and all these hours just below it. People are probably wondering why they can't fade this move and be long up to the trigger. That's because if we're going to get triggered at 74, well, the market can't just hopscotch from here over to here. It's got to trade through there. So, after careful analysis, I sent out a tweet that said, still waiting for the trigger. The long trigger is up at 1674. Could you fade it from 1670 to 73? You could. Okay? And so, anybody that was watching and following on Twitter late at night, are being awoken from their slumber when their phone goes off. Could have got long at 70 and took the three-point ride to 73, at which point they then get triggered into the bigger picture trade if they stay in up to 64, and we end up blowing through this zone. Now look what happened, okay? We got this long wick to the upside. Now we got this wick to the downside, but we never took out the low of this candle. And so now we've got an interesting dynamic. We've got one, two, we're working on our third inside candle off of this big 15-point doji. One, two, three. And see, we closed inside the zone, below the zone, and now we're opening below the zone. So that's just really briefly, Giovanni, on the tweets. You can follow us. Go to twitter.com/CFRN. Click follow. If you have any questions at all, email us support@CFRN.net, and I'll be happy to answer it, walk you through it. You can get the tweets on your smartphone. You can get them in your email. Very clever folks over there at the Twitter. They've done amazing things with 140 characters, and we're big fans. So with that said, we're going to go out to Las Vegas, Nevada, and talk to some folks that we're also big fans of. That would be David Williams over at PageTrader.com. It's Robin Dane, the trading coach. And we have a new guy that's going to be on the show today. He really likes trading oil. I can't wait for him and David to, you know, get a chance to know one another. And so without any further ado, let me pause for a very brief station identification, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning. Welcome to the show. Robin, welcome to you.
And good morning, gentlemen. It's a wonderful day here in sunny Las Vegas.
And good morning, Robin. Good morning, Michael, as well.
Good morning, David, Rob.
Everyone. Okay.
Well, we're all here. The gang's all here.
The gang's all here.
Yeah. Yeah, the other guy, he couldn't make it. It was last minute he called in.
Oh, that's good.
He had to go chase down some Freemasons in the street and give them what for. So.
We can gently address that subject today at some point.
You know what, David? I made this comment in the trading room this morning because the subject came up. Oh, wait, I brought it up. All right. But I didn't go into any real detail. And I said, you know what? I'm going to stop making fun of this guy, and I'm actually going to start just praying for this guy, because I kind of do. I mean, at first you're kind of bewildered, and then you're annoyed, and then if you have any compassion, you realize that he just needs your prayer because something's not quite right.
Yeah, and I didn't want to make fun of him, actually, but
I did, and I'm sorry for it, you know.
he expresses a, and then I'll quiet here. He expresses a form of paranoia that can lead people to believe things that aren't true, and one of them has to do with the attempt at explaining what he found in the markets. A person stares at the markets, they see a certain type of behavior, and let's take him out of the equation just for a moment here. And basically, he believes that, or he espouses the belief, I don't know how much he believes this, but I believe he does. He believes that there's a trading computer, an evil trading computer, that is really running the markets. And that is why the markets are so difficult to trade, is because there's a computer that's doing all of this to fool you and me and others. And he believes he's found proof that there's an evil trading computer. And this is his best way to explain what he has seen, is that there must be an evil trading computer. And one of the things that I've talked about many times on this program, we've all talked about it, the conspiracy mindset. There are conspiracies, there's no doubt about it, that people attempt to do, but they're very, with the moment you put any kind of pressure on them, they collapse and they get busted all the time. And, you know, the perfect conspiracy that everyone thinks exists really doesn't, and so on. But he believes this, and it's interesting that once you believe something like that, it never crosses his mind, then if there's an evil trading computer that's making the movements up and down, where are all the real buying and selling? Where's all that going? Where are all of us who buy and sell in the euro, buy and sell in the S&P? If it's a computer that's showing you that and making it go up and down, where does all that buying and selling actually go, if not into the markets? And so he wouldn't be able to answer that. But he does express, I wouldn't say that he's passionate about it because it goes beyond passion. He seems like he needs some kind of balance in his life. He seems like he's gone way, way far into one little compressed corner. So, and all of us deal with this. You know, you can go on the website or on the internet and find anything you want. You'll find somebody that says something good or bad about you, whatever your business is. But I worry that he is at the point where I think he may actually believe that the internet is all one guy typing all that content in. It's just one guy doing the whole internet. I mean, that's his next step.
Oh, I wish that guy would come here and do my emails.
I know. I could use him in the office. I mean, we have a lot we need to get done here. Lord,
exactly.
Go ahead, Coleman.
Yeah, exactly.
You had
exactly.
something.
But you know, he's not the first one. You know, I'm very proud of Dwayne for saying what he said, because people have this notion. They've had it for years. They've just had it for years. And so I'm very proud of Dwayne to let go of picking on him and saying he's gonna just send him some good vibes and maybe he'll get the right message. So I'm very proud of you today, Dwayne. It's very nice to do that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. That was very kind of you to say.
And you know, we want to make sure that our listeners are happy and that they are, you know, they're getting good vibes. And, you know, we'd like to have some fun, of course, but we typically don't go after anybody. So I don't have new people have that impression. And people have had that thought. It's a thought that comes up all the time. It's something I hear all the time. It's crazy.
What is that? Which thought is that?
That there's some, you know, somebody watching my trades, and as soon as I know that, as soon as I do this, they're out there and they know I've done this. You know, you've got two contracts in a sea of a bazillion contracts, and they know what you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. and they are out there to get you. You know, they're just, you know, it's not the first time that people bring that up. It's a very...
One of the reasons they do bring it up is because the markets are non-intuitive. They don't work like ordinary things work in life. They don't work like almost anything seems to work in life. And so when you have a successful life or business or endeavor, that you turn to the markets and think that you're going to bring that to the markets, the chances are you're going to learn something that is new, which is that the markets are not like your ordinary work, your ordinary business, and so on. In fact, they're so unlike it that it does appear that, you know, a person would say, well, my only explanation for this is that somebody is watching my trades and on the other side making this happen, making it go against me. Another one is that there's a evil trading computer that sets these things up and so on. And one thing I want to make clear is that in no way, shape, or form am I even addressing his methodology. He may very well have a very good methodology.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we're not addressing his methodology. We're really talking about the psychology that can happen to anybody. And it sounds, just on my first take, that he is a loner. He's somebody that doesn't have many people in his life, and that he's got himself into a very compressed corner of viewpoint that's very compressed on one way. Thank you.
That's the word, compressed.
Yeah.
That's exactly the word, compressed. That's a great word for what he is. That's exactly it, compressed. It's a great word.
Huh.
And so the key thing for that person, or to help that person, is to really start to stretch out of that compressed state and start to open your mind and to the possibilities of what's around you, and let things kind of flow, you know, not constrict them. So, you know, that's the kind of advice we want to give that kind of guy.
Right. If I was sitting and speaking with him, the very first thing I would want him to relieve himself of, I mean, obviously nobody likes to be called names. Nobody likes to be have anything printed about them that speaks badly of them and so on. But he has such a powerful and intense reaction to anyone's comment on the internet that I would think his first order of business is to let that go, is so that he can not
I believe you mean the highest order of business?
The highest order of business, yeah. because he's, there's no doubt.
I don't know how much you listened, but that's a popular term, the highest order of.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a recurring theme. So.
Oh, okay. Well, no,
I spent way too much time listening to that stuff.
Well, you know why? I'll tell you why we listen to it. The reason I think we're interested in it is because we recognize some of ourselves in it. And it's interesting listen. Don't you agree? I mean, we hear some of our own things that we want to say, and here's this guy saying it, and even though he's gone over the top, there's an interest there that we connect with. At least for me, I noticed that there was some of me in what I was hearing, and again, we're not addressing his
history. I started to tell you guys apart.
Yeah, exactly. so he, you know, I think he needs to relax about and understand that there really is no need to get so completely bent out of shape about what people say in blogs, and that these blogs are really just one guy, and then now this other blog is really one guy. Now, you know, that's why I say the whole internet is just really one guy. That's how you get paranoid, and you finally just go over the top, and you end up, in a mental institution or walking the streets. You know,
his
mumbling.
Cup is way too tight. He needs to let that thing out a couple sizes.
There you go.
So anyway, I wish him the best, and he lives here in Las Vegas. He actually is a Las Vegan. Yes, he does.
Oh,
he is in Las Vegas.
Goodness.
He gave his address out on one of the, which I think was awfully odd to do.
It's on the internet and the telephone, and I'm sure he likes sushi. I don't know. There's an opportunity.
I would be very happy to invite him out to sushi if he ever wants to, but I don't know that I want to really be involved in him. He sounds very intense, you know, somewhere along the way, he will either let that go or go completely insane, and,
I'll go with you and protect you.
Oh, well, and you could. I'll tell you that. You're a tough girl.
Bring the pepper spray, you know. I really hope the best for the guy. Obviously, he's in, and in some pain and some turmoil, and best thing I can do. I thought about making phone calls. I really did think about doing an interview, but then I thought, I just don't see how that could end well in any kind of a way. I just don't see it ending well. So I'm just from a distance. I just, just pray and go on about my life.
Mm-hmm.
And peek in every now and then just to see.
I think that's wise.
Well, that's interesting. And he has a good speaking voice as well. I mean, speaking of interviews, he speaks well. He knows how to speak. He's intelligent. He's no dummy. But all those things don't matter. I mean, if you're emotionally connected to things that it's a need. It's almost
he talks at length about his superior intelligence.
Yeah, he does. He does. He does talk about it. And he's doing that in regard to people who are calling him names. So that's his. Mm-hmm. That's the counter to that and so on.
Right.
But, he's pretty young to be that intense. And some people start out their lives very young and very intense. We've seen people 17, 16 come into schools shooting people because they feel they need to do that.
Yeah.
Jody Arias, the whole big trial on TV, which has just gotten to be a circus. But
it's
over now.
It's over.
No, not quite. It's still.
She has to go through that phase. But my point was that young woman. Here's a young woman, a very attractive young woman who could, but for her emotional condition, could have a very wonderful life. And she, unfortunately, And this is the part that really is so unfortunate, in my view, that she felt it was necessary to kill another human being in order to solve her problem. Somewhere, she made a number of conclusions that she came to that led her to this, that she must kill. And we all know it was completely unnecessary. She could have done so many other things, but she felt it was necessary. So there was no intervention there, and she had to do what her mind told her was necessary to do in those conditions. And that's so unfortunate, because she's let herself, she's killed another human being. She's completely destroyed, people's lives for a period of time, if not for the rest of their lives.
Oh, many,
done a
many
lot
people.
A lot of damage in that. And all of it for the unnecessary need that she felt to kill somebody. Well, that's what happens.
It was a rage killing. I don't care what anybody says. It was an absolute rage killing. She literally lost her mind in the moment. Why they didn't use that as her defense, I don't know. But I guess she didn't want to go into a mental institution the rest of her life. But that was a rage killing. There's no way that you stab somebody 29 times and not have it be a rage killing. But they're not finished. I mean, I've been watching this trial intensely only because of the psychology and seeing what the psychologists were saying and seeing what the psychology of the thought process. And they're at the stage now where it's a life or death. The jury is in fact, they're in session now, and they're supposed to decide either life, death, or they can't decide. And and she gets in front of the jury yesterday and does her final plea, and they calculated, I mean, she's a tremendous narcissist, but they calculated that she said the word I 83 times during her closing speech, and she barely said that she was sorry. She said it like this. She said, "I will be sorry for the rest of my life." And again, it went right back to her. It didn't go anything to, "I'm so sorry that I hurt the family. I'm so sorry." You know, there was like no remorse in her voice. And then she pulls out a T-shirt that says, "You know, if I stay in prison, I have this T-shirt that says Survivor on it. And I'm gonna sell it, and I'm gonna donate all the money to all the battered women." I was like, "You gotta be kidding me!"
Wow.
And I'm gonna do a trash collection thing in the prison, and I'm gonna teach people who can't speak English how to speak English. I mean, it was unbelievable that this woman, in a life and death situation, is talking about marketing T-shirts. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. This woman is really crazy. And it's mind-boggling. I've never seen a case go like this. She's manipulated it.
We can take some away from all of this, including the fellow that has the evil trading computer and so on,
yes.
Which is that, you know, people do, and we can, especially in something as intense as trading, get pushed over into a mindset that goes, further and further off course until finally you have a blowout. And, of course, Robin, you know all about people that do that because you work with them.
Yeah.
And I've been through it myself, so I'm not speaking from the outside. I've blown up a number of trading accounts in my life, and not insubstantial in size, I might add. I've been through – I've had days – I've never talked about this before, but, we've been on the radio with you for 8 years. I've had days where I've lost over $50,000 to $100,000 in a single day. In trading, and that's a blowout. That's where you are fighting the move, and you get angry, and you've had enough with having to use your stop, and you've had enough with this whole thing of having to manage yourself correctly, and instead you just go completely the other way and start buying new lows and buying, as it's going against you, and you end up just lighting a bonfire.
Yeah.
Burning up your own emotions, your own money, your own everything. And I've been through it a number of times, and I've recognized the early signs in other people when I speak with them on the phone. It starts, of course, with an initial frustration with trading, and then it moves on to changing your behavior in trading, and then it moves on to anger that it just doesn't work, and then sometimes people take a break and they come back, and then before you know it, it happens again, and then they really blow up, and before you know it, they hit their final cliff. There's no further cliff for them. That final cliff is, I'm done. I'm going to just explode. And we see it over and over again. We all mm-hmm. know people probably as traders, people who've been doing this for a long time. We all know people that have done that. And the simple fact is you're going to have to finally agree with yourself one way or the other that this is a real thing. There aren't other people that are trying to they're not conscious of your existence. The guy on the other side of your trade doesn't know who you are or where you are, what your life situation is. Even if he loved you with the love of Jesus, he couldn't help you make money because he doesn't know what you're going to do next. You're just like the market. He doesn't know what you're going to do next. And in most cases, unless you have a strategy, you don't know what you're going to do next. And that's where mm-hmm. the problem is. So it doesn't matter who the other guy is. It doesn't matter if it's an evil trading computer. The fact is the markets are real. They really do exactly what they do in front of you, and you have to learn how to deal with that. You can't make excuses for yourself. You can't make excuses for others. You either learn to do it or you go on and do something else. Anything other than that, you will turn into a frustrated ball that's going to explode, and at some point you're going to go supernova, and it hurts nobody but yourself, and the self-destructive side of humanity, which is in all of us, comes out in the form of letting positions run against you and adding to them or doing whatever you do in your blowout. But I've had a number of them over the years. Thankfully, my last blowout is over probably 14 years ago where I really, really hit it good. But that blowout sent me away from the markets. I remember that was one of the few times in my whole career that I took a break from the markets. And then inevitably, if you really have it in you, you're drawn back to it in a much more sober state. But Robin, I'm sure you know.
So I'm guessing that was not a champagne supernova.
No, it was a supernova of,
You remember that? Remember that song, that song lyric?
No, tell me.
Oasis and a champagne supernova in the sky. Someday you'll find me caught beneath a landslide in a champagne supernova.
And what song is that?
Yeah.
Champagne Supernova. That's the name of the song by the, by the group Oasis. I'll key it up and play it here in a minute.
Oh, Oasis. You play that. I would be interested to hear that. But, Robin, I was going to ask you. I do want to hear it, Dwayne. But, Robin, I also want to hear from you. What's your take on the final blowout? Because I worry also.
You go into. Excuse me. You go into a place called that I call it just went right out of my head. Hold on, let me grab it back. The I don't care zone. You literally go into a place that it's the I don't care zone. You lose all consciousness of what you're doing. You're trading, but you are not conscious of winning, losing, nothing. You're in the I don't care zone, and the market is just literally sucking up your money. And you just trade and trade and trade, and you double up, and you it's
right.
This crazy place. I call it the I don't care zone. And then all of a sudden, from some sheer absolute fear or level, or you run out of your money, which is a lot of times what will happen. You'll blow your account out and you cannot take another trade.
Sure.
And then you go, and then everything closes and you go, and all of a sudden reality hits you and you say, what the heck did I just do? You are literally in this place that you don't know what's happening.
Right. It's like people who snap and perhaps kill other people or do something really bad. You hear this a lot, people. I remember there was a case in New York, Bernard something, who was in a subway, and this was many, many years ago. Some of the listeners will remember. And four young people, you know, the subways are not a great place, or they used to not be. I don't know how they are now.
They're actually not so bad.
Yeah, the four guys sort of.
Great entertainment.
Yeah, the four guys surrounded him, and he felt his life was threatened, and he warned them, and they looked like they were going to do something bad. His name was, I think, Bernard or something. Maybe somebody will remember. Anyway, he said in his testimony that he warned them, they moved closer, they were around him, he felt imminent danger, and he pulled his gun out, and he shot each one of them once. And he said, at the moment that that happened, he did not hear any of the shots. He did not feel the percussion of the gun. He sort of blanked out at that moment when he went there. And that's what you're saying, is that you go into a zone where you're not even really there anymore. And it's a final place of retreat. It's a final defeat, actually, internally.
I think that your brain literally just almost shuts down as far as a thought process. The thought process is not existing. It's gone. And I'm still in a quandary of, are you in your subconscious or conscious mind at the time? But I'm thinking more subconscious is reacting, and you're in this revenge trading, and you start going into this revenge thing of, I'm going to get it back, I'm going to double down, I'll add some more contracts, I'll do this. And then when it starts to go against you, you're holding on for like ever. You have no stops in place usually, you're moving the stop like crazy. And it just is this very destructive kind of a mode that you really don't. I've had three major ones each time. I don't know if this has happened to you, David, but each time it's gotten better. I haven't had one for quite a while now, but I've had three major ones in my trading career. A lot of people, like what happened to you, they'll hit that and they'll walk away and they'll just say, okay, I'm done, and they never come back. And then also I've seen that this is an epiphany with many, and when they hit that wall and they go through that big blowout, they go, I will never do this again, and I am going to get this. And they launch back in with a bunch of rules and discipline, and they come back in with a favor that's just unbelievable, that I am not I'm going to get this discipline thing, and I am not breaking a rule no matter what. And they really make it. It's like this quantum leap. So there's different reactions to the ending of this. Some go out of the market, which is very, very common. And then many have it. It's like the rite of passage into the proper way of just saying, you have got to get control of your mind. You have got to get control of your discipline. You have got to stick to your rules, follow your plan, and work it, and really work it. What's wrong? What's working? What's not working? What are the things that are not working? How do I fix them, adjust them? How do I get my risk parameters in place, my risk-reward parameters in place? And then all of a sudden it comes together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but I know that it is, I've done a couple articles on it, on the blow-up, because it happens all the time across
people,
the board.
People have it. The biggest thing for me, and this may be useful to others, but and I've talked about this, and I think Dwayne probably has his own version, and other people have their own thing that may have happened with them if they've had the blowout. And it's deeply upsetting, and it's a very difficult thing to go through. Anybody who's been through it, it's like breaking up. It's like having a big breakup in a relationship, or having a long time situation crash in some way. Very destabilizing, and it really requires sometimes just time, but it also requires some insight into how you got there. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I do consistently with my trading is I always think in terms of trading somebody else's money, because my mind naturally does something wrong when I own the money. I don't trade it well. When I think as though Dwayne was talking earlier about the stewardship of money and so on, that's how I think in trading. I always think that my money is somebody else's, and that's how I trade.
That is a really, really good thinking, because now that's not for everybody. Some people are the reverse. When they trade other people's money, they get loosey-goosey. And they don't have that same care. I go through this with people who have trading rooms that trade for other people. And when they make that transition, they've been trading really, really well for themselves. And then all of a sudden, they do it for other people, and they don't do well. But then I have other people that do exactly what you do, which is they hunker down, and they said, I feel more responsible for my responsibility level is higher than anything else for anybody else, and I would hate to lose their money.
Right.
And so
exactly.
You are hunkered down, and you do exactly what you're supposed to do. So the key thing that you're saying, which is very important to other people, is to take these kind of concepts and whatever causes you to trade with clarity and certainty and discipline, use it. Whatever that is. I mean, I do it. My thinking is, and it's not like with your thing with trading other people's money. My thinking is that Mr. Market is there to take my money, and he's pretty shifty. And how he takes my money is putting me in the emotion, and he's tricked me. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, no, you're not going to get me this time. You're not going to suck me in this time. I'm not going down that road. You got me yesterday. I'm not doing that again. I'm out of here.
Uh-huh.
And so I played in my head that he's trying to take my money, but I'm there to take his money first. And who's going to win the game?
Uh-huh.
And somebody's humming in the background.
Yeah, me. I'm freaking out here a little bit.
I was
twirling my hair, and then I started to make sounds.
What did I say something bad?
I was just going to say that what if, rather than seeing the market as your enemy, as your adversary, what if you turned that thing on its head and saw the market as your ally, as your business partner? You know, I'm going to try to beat you today. Mm-hmm. Good morning. How are you? How's the wife? How's the kids? Okay. And what are your plans for today? Oh, you're going up. Might I go along with you? And see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally get
very
that.
Very English. Might I go along with you?
You know, my thing is this. Every single trader out there is different.
Yeah.
Every single trader comes to the table with a different set of things. My thing was, my challenge was solved by my thinking. So I don't care what the heck I'm thinking. It doesn't emotionally affect me. It helps my trading. Okay. It doesn't matter that David's thinking his way. It helps him trade. It may not be real, but it helps him trade. What you have to do is find what works for you. And I'm glad that you brought that up because that's just another perspective of how you can look at what's there. But you have to find your own way.
Yeah, it's all very individual.
Everybody is different, and everybody's an individual. And I totally am in violent agreement with you, Dwayne, that that's another great perspective. But it's not the be-end-all only perspective.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You have to find what works for you.
That's what worked for me. I would not have found what I found without having been through a real life experience, which had me trading for somebody else who I really cared for and refused to trade for several years until finally I did. And then I realized I had two accounts in front of me, one of them that was up 100% a year, 3 years in a row, and the other one that I was in a shambles. Mine was in a shambles, but the person I was trading for that I cared about, I traded beautifully as if there was an entirely separate man inside of me trading her account.
Exactly.
That's when I recognized, wow, that is the most amazing thing. And so since that experience, I've always considered the money. And listen, one other thing. I just want to say one thing I never do, just because I know here's a better way of putting it. I take the market for exactly what it is. It is real. It is there. There's no baloney about it. It is what it is, and I have to deal with that. I don't put anything else out. There's nobody trying to get me. There's nobody trying to mess with me. It's just the market. And I leave it at that. I from that point forward, I trade, since I know the market can do whatever it wants to do, I lean heavily in my particular way of thinking on the idea that I trade by exception more than anything else. I'm not here to trade. I'll trade by exception. If they show me something good enough, I'll take it. That's how I think.
Yeah, and my thinking, even though I'm describing it, it doesn't consume me. It's if I start breaking my rules is when that pops up to keep my discipline. And it just pops in there for a second and goes out. I'm not sitting here violently going, oh, yeah, the market's going to get my money all day long. I don't do that. But it is one little tiny thought that I use to keep me disciplined in that moment when I'm thinking about attempting to break a rule. And so that's all you need. Again, thoughts are very powerful, and that's why everything I do is based on the power of thought. And in the moment, you find whatever works for you in the moment, whatever works for you to keep your discipline, whatever you have to think, use it, create it. Your brain doesn't distinguish the difference between what's real and not real. It only knows what you tell it, and it believes what you tell it, even if it's fake. That's my, and that's huge. That is a huge, huge concept.
Yeah.
Think what you need to think in the moment to get the job done.
Yeah. Well, and I hope that's helpful, what all this from everybody. Dwayne, go ahead and play that song. Let's find out what the heck you were talking about there.
What is that song? Oh, let's see. By the way, the guy you were trying to think of his name was Bernard Goetz.
Ah, Bernard Goetz. That's who it was. You guys can read up on him. He made that comment that, and you hear this before, people will say, I just blanked out and I really am not sure what happened. When you're in those life and death situations, that actually is a very common experience with people, that the whole event takes place, or some people it happens in slow motion, as an example. Have you ever been in a car accident where your memory of it is...
Faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova in the sky. Someday you will find me.
So there you go. It's the first time I've heard that song. I've never heard that song.
I was just going to say the same thing. I have. I must have been in
seriously.
That funky
state.
No, I've
never heard that song.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
That
is,
never, who is that singing?
It's Oasis. That's the name
I
of the group.
Never
I'm trying
heard,
to turn the thing off. Now it won't go off.
I never heard that song. Never, never, never.
Hey, everybody be really quiet. Maybe I can make it go off.
Dream a dream she never...
There we go. Yeah, Oasis. That was the name. That might have been the name of the album. No, the album was What's the Story, Morning Glory. They're from Australia. And that
when did
was
that come
one
out?
Of that
when
was
that?
Well, you know, I'm going to say, cuz it reminds me of a time period in my life when I started my last business before this business. So I'm thinking 95, 96. I'm not positive,
wow.
though. I could be off.
Well,
I'll Google it and see. I'll see when it was actually written, but I want to get this browser window over here closed.
I must
down.
Have got a job by that time.
how many windows I got open? So, return to my friend Google. Come on, Google. Champagne. Supernova. There it is.
Wow.
Now, Wikipedia. You know you got a great song when it's got its own Wikipedia page.
Oh.
From the astronomical event observed in 2003. Oh, I was way off, huh? Oh, this was released as a single in Australia, France, and New Zealand in 96. I nailed it, 96.
Look at that.
Man.
Wow, you are good.
That is so
you
awesome.
You are really good.
There you go.
All right. So now that we've solved that riddle, what do you guys?
I've never even heard that song. That really is.
Well, you should go on the when you can hear it with good. See, when you try to pump music through this GoToWebinar thing, it's not designed for music and it doesn't play well with music. But just go on the internet and listen to the YouTube video. It's an interesting song. And I got to kill that echo. It's making me crazy. All right, I got it.
All right. Well, do you want to it's an interesting conversation. I just want to say this every trader is going to face themselves. The market will put a mirror in front of you and make you see a lot of things that you might not want to see. And at some point, you're going to have to accept the reality of the market. And when you really do accept the reality of the market, then you'll stop trying to change the market, and you'll start working very diligently on changing your behavior in response to the market. And before you know it, you find that you can work with this thing, especially if you have a good methodology and or have discovered ideas and principles of the market that help you put a trade together. So, you know, we'd all like to save everybody from the crash, but I think it is a rite of passage probably for most experienced traders.
Yep. And unfortunately, I think you're right.
The inner crash, you know, not only the breakdown. So,
Rick says, Dwayne, David, and Robin, your discussions and the many philosophies towards trading are priceless. Rick, there's an invoice coming, buddy. It's not priceless. You're being billed for this.
The ever-present businessman.
Better check the mail, dude.
That's through the one guy that's sitting on the computer on the internet who's going to send you that invoice.
Yeah, the one guy that's doing the internet.
That's very kind of you to say, Rick. Thank you.
No,
yes,
that is very nice of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
There are smarter and more brilliant. There's smarter and more brilliant people than what we have on this radio program, but you know, you're going to have to deal with what you got here, and that's as good as it's going to get.
This is
as good as it gets.
All right, you want to head over to the markets, and let's take a look. We have a lot of action in a number of markets today. So if you want, you ready, Dwayne?
I am, David.
Okay. Well, let's start with the S&P 500, and let's take a look. First of all, you know, very volatile today in our Williams Edge, in our institutional meetings that we have. We talked about Wednesday being very important this week for big volatility, big reversals in the market. And we'll go through and you'll see there's a number of markets that have had big reversals. The S&P is just one of them. Yesterday on the radio program, I talked about the likelihood of the market declining from the 73 level down to 66 into the late day, and that would be buying territory for a tradable advance to potentially new highs. And yesterday they did decline. It got down to 65.50. Today we launched off that up to a level that's in our support and resistance, which is 83/85. Today's high has been 85.75. They've tested that level, and they've reversed strongly off it. I do want to remind everybody that from our perspective, this week on Friday, if we close below 66 by more than a point or so, and you can see 66, they keep wanting to play with that level. It's been an important level in this. for us, that will be the earliest indication for a multi-week sideways to lower movement. So this is really very important what's happening for our perspective between today and Friday, and I'm not at all really surprised on a certain level. I'm surprised, but on the other level, I'm not surprised to see the market coming back down hard and recycling the 66 level as we head into Friday. So we'll see how that ends up. I do have something that I also wanted to point out, which we talked about this today, and this is a broader, bigger brush thing. I don't want people to trade directly off this. But the market completed the 72 level, which was 72.73, which we talked about a couple weeks back as a place for the market to advance to. Today they completed the next highest level for today, which is 83.85. What Pearson might say, well, what, you know, if we don't go down from here, where would we be going? What would happen on the upside? And that would mean that we would be trading substantially higher. Even if we get a weekly pullback, there is still a level above us that I think is important in the month of June, and that would be up at 1707 to 1708. These are not levels that are likely to be, you know, levels that you would find through ordinary type of methodology of perhaps measuring previous moves and so on, but it is an important level. Or maybe it does. Maybe it does coincide with it. But
what level are you talking about?
Well, both the 72, 73, the 85, and then now the 1707 to 1708, which we think
that's our highest weekly zone for this week, 1707/1708.
Okay, and that level for us is next week, is due, would be due, under the given conditions that we have as a runaway market, into the month of June. So it's not a May level, it's not a this week level, but it's actually a June level. So even if we get the multi-week decline off of this top, let's say we close below 66, and we do start to get a decline here, that still leaves plenty of time for the market then to firm up and make a new high and potentially go complete levels like 1707, 1708, and so on. And like I said, it may coincide with some other ones, but these are levels that are far, far above where we've been, and that would be itself a very important completion in the month of June. June itself could itself do something very important to the market in terms of putting a top in. So we are going to, in our trading, we're going to continue to do what we've been doing, which so far has worked, and at one point it won't work, and we will have to buy that knowledge. But we're continuing to use pullbacks as indications in the index for us to go long by selling puts and so on, or purchasing stocks individually in the market. And this has been a very powerful period for us, because we've made tremendous gains recently. Those of you that have seen our statements and our webinars and so on, we've had some sizable gains because the market's in a runaway market, and we're trying to take advantage of that rather than trying to short it. And it's interesting how many people want to short this market rather than take advantage of the move up that's underway. And then the psychology is well, as soon as I get in, they're going to turn it. Well, you're not going to get real far in the market instructing yourself that way, saying, well, I'm going to go short because that will work, but I'm not going to go long because as soon as I go long, they're going to go down. Then you're leaving yourself no hope for any gains, because you're going to short something that's a freight train, and you're not going to buy something that is going higher. So you really don't have any chance of making any money there.
John, thanks for pointing that out and reminding me. Yeah, guys, we had a tweet to be short below 64, and John just asked me in the chat room if that is still valid, and yes, it is still valid. And the target, the downside target on that would be the next weekly zone below us, where we found support earlier this week at 1659/60.
Okay.
So we had two nice trades on the upside today, and it looks like now it's going to try to hand us a short one. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if there's any follow-through. It just ducked below 64. It got down to 63, so it gave up 1 point so far, but let's see if it can follow through. If we look left, John, we don't really have anything at all in the way until we get down to the low. Let me get this arrow out of the way. See, the low of this candle here is 62. So when the market sold off, it came back here, it found support at this level, and it never traded back below that. So, and then we can see these little tails here below. So this is from 64 to 62 should be a pretty safe couple points. I don't know. We're going to have to watch it. If we get back below 64, I would say, yeah. And then, you know, trail your stop, and because we got a good chance, I think, of hitting the zone. So, but anyway, thanks for bringing that up and reminding me. I know there's other people that had that question. How does a stop loss work? Well, Giovanni, you got to put a stop loss in wherever it meets your risk profile. Now, obviously, on something like this, getting short below 1664, if you're looking at an hourly chart, okay, just basic technical analysis, your stop loss would have to be way up here. That's not practical when you're only looking at a potential move of, you know, 4 points. So you've got to drill down to a smaller time frame, like the slingshot that we use in the morning in the live trading room on the range charts. This way you're able to participate in that trade that's based on a bigger picture perspective, but only having to risk 2 points, because every trade that we take with the slingshot, we never risk more than 2 points. In fact, we risk 8 ticks on every market, whether it's the S&P or crude or gold, whatever it might be. So that is how you would do that, Giovanni. Okay, David, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, not at all.
Is that what you want to do? Go to gold?
I'm sorry?
Did you say you're ready to go to gold?
I was just going
to
finish up real quick on the S&P, and then we'll slide right over. So, nothing else to add, I guess, basically. We're just that we have a lot of volatility. We're trading around the 66 level. We're banging back and forth, of course, a lot of different numbers, a lot of different ways of looking at it. But the weekend here is going to be very important, the close on Friday is going to be very important, and we'll talk about that as we approach it. So, if there's nothing else, Wynn, we'll move over to gold. We have a number of markets that are setting up important trades based on today.
Gold was up like $30 at one point today.
Absolutely. And again, this Wednesday, May 22nd date, we talked about in our meetings, that for those of you that have come to it, you would know about this, but we said basically we're going to do very little between Monday and Wednesday, because Wednesday has a huge cycle that would hit the market. Cycles really do exist. They exist in everything out there in nature and every other thing, and they definitely exist on the market as well. This particular one has quite a bit of volatility associated with it, and gold was, in fact, attempting to get up to 1418. They got up to 1413 and reversed strongly. So there's a number of markets that are going to have big reversals. We had a long position in gold from buying, we talked about this a while back, buying from 1369 down to 1352 was the buying territory on May 17th and 18th for a move up to 386, or 1386, I'm sorry. And they got up to 1386 and higher. They got up to 1413, and then they reversed. We, in our long position, booked something at 1386. They went higher, and then we moved our stop up, and our stop got taken out at 1370. This is a multi-day trade, not a very, very short-term trade, so we were using larger stops on this, and so we got a nice gain out of the whole trade, but you always must use a stop. Somebody just asked a question about the stop. It's no small thing. Not only is it vastly more important than you might think it is, not only is it all that, but it's actually a tremendous edge that you have in the market. The ability to stop your loss immediately is like no other investment that I know of can you do that. So that's one of the things that's really good about having a stop. So let's move on. Let's see past the gold. We'll move on to a few of these other markets that I think are important. Same kind of big turnaround today. If you take a look at the bond market, they were attempting higher later today and had a big reversal down. This might set us up into a trade. I don't have anything right now. And for those of you who want to listen in to our institutional meetings, which we have 3 a week on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we also send out reports to you with very specific starts, entries, places to get long, targets where the market's going to. Some of our guys just recently made 40 points in the S&P buying the market up to the 1370 or 1672 level, that 73 level that we talked about way back. A while back now, a couple weeks back, just going long. Again, you have to have the margin, you have to have the overnight and so on, but some of these larger gains are available, and you can take advantage of those if you want to. You give us a call at our offices here, 888-231-4702. You can check that out and see if that's something that can go along with. It's not something you have to replace your other trading with. Just add these in to your own trades and check it out. Mostly what we're doing in that is we're dealing with CTAs and professionals who really just want trading ideas, but these ideas are very specific, and they may be useful in your own trading. Going over to the euro, take a look at today's euro chart, how big the sharp top is in the bounce that they had today, another big reversal point, and we'll be judging this into tomorrow to maybe take advantage of this May 22nd turn. In crude oil, crude continued down. We had a trade in crude in our institutional shorting it for a decline down to 95.10. They got down to 95.10 today. They're now down at 94.62, but that was like almost a $2.50 move. In crude, that's $2,500. That's a nice move down. Our bigger picture on crude is long-term. We're looking for higher prices, and we're looking for a reason to buy this market, a good reason, not just I want to buy it, but a good reason. let's see. Further than that, beyond crude, silver, which I'm going to leave silver alone. I have a better, at this time, I have a much better insight, I believe, or a knack for gold than I do silver. So we're going to leave silver alone. Beyond silver, we the other day we shorted the Australian dollar. Anybody of you that come to the meeting know about this. We shorted the Australian dollar at $98.19. The subsequent high was 98.24. And take a look at the Australian dollar. They had a very sharp decline. That was just yesterday that we did this. They got up there. They went up to 90, and we placed our stop at 98.25. And wonderfully, they didn't hit it. They got within one tick of it, and then they had the big decline down. The question might be, if they had hit it, could we have gotten back in? And honestly, I'm not sure if I could have found myself another place that I would have been comfortable with getting into this market. And sometimes if you get stopped out, that's just how it is. That's one of those realities of the market. You just have to take it for what it's worth. It could be an evil computer. It could be people that know who you are and are out to get you and your trade. Or it could just be this is how the market is. And I think the third one is the real correct answer. This is just how it works. If it's not good for you and doesn't work for you, maybe you shouldn't do it. But
you know, some people believe that Jody Arias is operating that evil computer from her cell.
From her cell, right. That it could be any number of things, including Arias running the markets. But when you finally do come to when you finally allow the market to be exactly what it is, without having to say they're trying to get you or they're trying to get your money or they're running them or whatever your thing is, if you just say, this is just the reality, this is it. I have to learn to deal with this actual reality. Instead of discounting it by saying, they're doing this to me, they're running the stops, whatever, all that is a way of you saying this isn't really real in a way. And I'm telling you that if you really get to the point where you accept it as it actually is, you can move beyond that and really work on the part that you have control over, which is how you're going to act when the market gets to that point or what you're going to do under a given set of conditions. And then now you're working smart. Now you're working smart. Why burn any energy up? The market is what it is. It really is real. It's not being driven by the Rockefellers to hit your stops. You know, there isn't a bunch of trading guys in a room with a computer driving it up to your exact stop to get you out. It doesn't matter even if there was. It is what it is, and if you accept it and move past that, you can work really profitably in the area that you can work on, which is yourself, your trading skills, your appreciation for what risk is, your management of your trade, and all the other things that go along with doing this well. Anyway, so the reason we shorted, by the way, the Australian dollar is because George Soros went short. Don't you see? It's a great trade. No, seriously, I know that sounds funny, but up in the back of my mind, I thought to myself, well, this is a trade that has gone down this far. I don't think we're going to see a bottom, at least until June. And so any advances were selling territory. So we got out of that. We're done. We had a nice move down. We got out at about 96, I forgot what the number was, but it was maybe 96.90 or something today, having shorted it at 98.19. So it was a very nice trade. And I have no compulsion to re-enter it until I get another very easy-to-read signal. Half of the problems that most traders have is that they act they're compelled to act rather than acting from knowledge, from knowing what they're doing. The compulsions are what gets you in trouble. So anyway, we're expecting a low probably in June, and we'll continue to sell short in that. I don't have anything new on any of the Tesla stuff, although I did hear some news or read some news that there's a possibility that they're going to use this stock offering and his own purchase and these other things that are going on to pay off their government loan 9 years early. That means like this week. They may actually pay their government loan off this week or early next week. The whole loan.
Wow. Wow.
The whole shooting match. So I don't know if you saw that, Dwayne.
I think you mentioned it.
Well, I wasn't sure, and I read more about it today. Yeah, and so that may be the case. What that does for them, it saves them an enormous amount of interest. It also is a great public display of confidence in their own ability to run their business without the aid of the government. So this is going to be one of the – you're going to see the government step up and take some real credit for this. I'm not a fan of any of the business that the government does in betting on companies and all that stuff. The really wise thing to do with government money is to give it to universities who do the research. They come up with very, very – there's all these young kids that are just bright. They don't know how not to think. They think of brand new things. They study them. They come up with stuff. And then companies come to them and license that technology and bring it to the market using the market's own money and all that stuff. Not the government betting on individual companies. I mean, for God's sakes, what an idiocy is going on in that. So anyway, in this particular case, it worked out, but we know that it didn't work out in a number of other – in most other cases, unfortunately. But I'm all for green, but I'm not all for you wasting all of our green on doing that. The marketplace has its own way of managing these things, and when the time is right, the money will be there. And the universities, many of the great innovations that we all enjoy now came out of universities where people are doing experiments and working and coming up with new ideas, and businesses license those ideas. Many of the new battery technologies that are going to be in electric cars come from universities. I mean, and that's a way of putting money into the schools and into people learning and really getting ahead. I'd rather see that than giving it to a company, an actual company that's sitting there trying to make profits. Okay. Anyway, so we'll move on from there. The dollar.
There was a question. Hang on. Oh. We blew past the bonds, and Ed had a question on the bonds. He says, hang on, let me scroll back up to it. Several weeks ago, David mentioned the importance of 142.25 in the long bonds, and we reached that price today. Could he expound on that?
What month is he referring to in the bonds?
I guess he's talking about June. Are you talking about June, Ed? Oh, no, he's not, because we didn't hit – oh, we did hit 142.25 today in June. Yeah, we did.
In June? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm looking at gold. Sorry about that. I thought I'd moved over to the bonds. Okay. The reason – he's talking about on the downside here. This was a level, I believe, that we were talking about having the market come down and complete it during another cycle. In other words, there was an important point for this to come to. I don't remember all the details with it, but the market normally would bounce off that level and potentially give us a whole new reversal. And with the May 22nd date and all, I mean, today's low so far is 142.19. So we've just ticked through that a little bit, and we're trading at 143.03 now. So there's a bounce off this level, and I believe this belonged to a separate cycle that we were looking for at that time. But that price level is important in the bonds, and that's really without reviewing my notes and seeing what we did. That's about the most I can add to that at this moment. So I apologize. I don't remember all the details of the setup.
So is there just a Fed announcement?
Something did happen.
I'm normally today on top of this. Well, Bernanke was testifying
Bernanke
all morning.
Bernanke was testifying. That's what it was. It was Bernanke.
Yeah, but Bruce just typed in, oh, it's the minutes. Oh, they
the minutes.
Released the
okay.
minutes from the last meeting. Okay, there we go. Thanks, Bruce. Got
right.
it.
Okay. Yeah, and remember, one of our – this is not a forecast, but one of our concerns and one of the things that I to this day am concerned about was the last rally that we had up from 142 to 149, which was a trade that we talked about, the monthly bottom up to 149. I've mentioned several times that I believe that may be the last big rally in bonds. I hope it's not, but it may be. And the bond market is still pressing lower. Keep an eye on this, because if the if we do start breaking critical levels in the bonds and we're done on the upside, interest rates go up and, you know, and so on. So we've talked about that a million times. Just get it done before this beautiful low interest rate environment goes away. And then the U.S. dollar, we have a few of our institutional guys that are long in the dollar and holding for the potential for higher prices. I can't go into more detail because these are some setups that we have for those subscribers, so we'll pass right over that. Cocoa, I told you about this the other day. This is a great example of a mistrade. We were talking about Cocoa making a bottom on May 21st. They should have touched 22.87. They got down to 22.92. I wanted to see them spike into the 87. It's only 4 or 5 ticks, but we missed it. That happens, and you just move on to the next trade. And you're going to have a whole career of missing trades. You'll also have a bunch of nice trades too. And you'll have some losses in there as well, and you manage them, and that's what you do. So let's see if there's anything else here of importance today. The soybeans. This rally has been a fantastic rally. We did not forecast this size of a rally, but we did forecast a very good multi-day advance off of the May 15th bottom. Now that the market has done this, we had forecast the other day that the next important level on the upside was 85. They hit that today, and they're beyond that. So at this point, we're not doing anything with it, but today normally would be an important date, May 22nd, for a turn in this market. So you might want to keep an eye on that just out of interest. And if you have something that tells you to go short or something, you might want to take advantage of that. We actually have targets on the downside that we will trade to, but we're going to wait until tomorrow before we take any action off of that.
Guys, we went into great detail yesterday. We stayed after and went over this with everybody that chose to hang out. I believe it was, might have been Giovanni, but somebody that had a question. So we covered the soybeans rather in depth. Now, what we have is we've got a trading range here that goes all the way back into October. And if you look a little further left, outside of this little blip and iteration here, the thing goes all the way back to June and July, back into June of last year. We hit the top of that range in June, and then we marked the bottom of the range. 5 days later, we dropped $7,000 per contract, if I recall, if I did the math right, from the top of the range to the bottom range. We did that in 5 days. Then we went back, we hit the top of the range, and we broke out, and we did this little number on the upside here. Then we popped back into the range, and there's a top of the range, a bottom of the range, a top, the top, the bottom, and we're back at the top again. This has been building since June, July of last year. This is almost 12 months in the making. We talked about where this market could potentially go from here, and if we look at just the measured move potential, in other words, we just measure from the bottom of the range to the top of the range. We come over here and we grab that and we stick it up here on top. A breakout to the upside here could lead to new all-time highs in the soybeans. That's if we break to the upside. Okay? From the bottom of the range to the top of the range, if we get a confirmed breakout, in other words, we break out of the range, hold on a pullback, then start thinking about how you'll get long in this market up to at least challenge. I'm not saying we'll make new highs, but that will be the next order of business. If we break out, hold on a pullback, and get going to the upside, look left, watch that high, and then the measured move would take us up to here. If we break out on the downside, okay, we can measure that move the other way, and this would take out the lows that were established back in May of 2012. Okay, so we spent probably 30 minutes going over this in great detail yesterday. I didn't have the video recorder on to record the charts. I wish I had, but all the commentary is on the podcast, and that has already been uploaded. So any of you that missed it and have an interest in the beans, if you listen to the audio, you can follow along on your own chart. But a very interesting and a very, very big picture setup developing. And these types of setups, you know, in a market, they come along once, twice a year, you know, a couple times, you know, sometimes every couple years you get a setup of this magnitude. But this here, this range, I think when I measured it yesterday, it was 140 pennies from top to bottom. I believe was what, let's see, 140 times 1250. Mm, yeah, I think that was right. No, it wasn't. Let's see, the low end down here was 1330. Yeah, we'll call that 1330, and then the high is 1480. So it's about a 150-point range. Okay, so it's 150 points. And let's see. 150 times 1250. Okay, it's a $2,000 move per contract. Okay, 150 points. From the bottom of the range at 13... Do that one more time. 1330 up to the swing high of the range, 1480. So that's equivalent to 150 S&P points. Okay. 150 S&P points. And so I calculated that wrong because I did it, I did the math per tick. It's actually 150 times 50, which is $7,500 per contract. I knew that didn't sound right. So if we come back to the bottom of the range, that's a $7,500 move. If we break out to the upside, potential for that measured move, or the downside, either way. So this is a great opportunity, guys, and I'm not telling you to go short or to go long. I'm telling you to watch this until you get some kind of confirmation as to what the market's trying to do, because even if it can't put in a new high or make a new low, just the fact that it's going to attempt to do it will create some good volatility and some good opportunities along the way. So I'm not saying you got to ride it, you know, all the way and you got to get that last tick out of it. No, just that there will be opportunity, and let's be sure and take advantage of it. Okay, David, what market now? Where you want to go?
Well, I was just going to mention the S&P is continues to drop. We're below 66 now, which is this closing level that we talked about. And they're testing, as you can see, much lower prices. And this is the importance of the weekly deal that we talked about, where there, if we do close below 66, we're going to, that will be the earliest indication for a multi-week decline in the S&P here. So we'll take that as it occurs. You know, as we get closer to Friday, we'll see how it all lines up. But this has been a huge volatility day, and I think there's some real opportunities, not just today, but potentially over the next several days, now that they've done what they've done here. So,
yeah, John, in answer to your question, which was, what did Ben Bernanke have to say today? What he said was, is that the Fed has to be very careful that they don't move too quickly. In fact, I'll tell you, hang on one second. He maintained a dovish tone, is how the writers wrote it up. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke's signal that monetary policy will remain loose gave stocks another lift on Wednesday, paving the way for many indexes to advance to new record highs. The Fed is currently making $85 billion in bond purchases every month, and though Bernanke said that keeping interest rates low for a long time can unbalance the financial system, he warned that a change in policy now could carry a substantial risk of slowing or ending the economic recovery and causing inflation to fall further. So for those who've been concerned that perhaps, you know, the Fed was going to stop the quantitative easing, now, again, Bernanke, he's one man, and there's a group of them that have to vote and make these decisions. But if he speaks for the consensus, then we will continue to enjoy loose monetary policy for some time to come. So, but the markets have been, even though the markets have been concerned about that, it certainly hasn't stopped them from continuing to, you know, put in new highs on an almost daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Today, and we're putting in new lows on a daily, on an hourly basis here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, this is good. This is very interesting. Well, that's basically everything that I have, Dwayne, for today. I think this is wonderful stuff we're seeing right now in the S&P, and will help put some trades together into next week. They're down at 60, 1655 here. substantially lower than we were just a short while ago. So we'll see. Yep. Let's see how they handle this. I think that's everything. Robin, do you have anything you want to add with to your?
No, I got no more. No, my stocks today are kind of doing not so much. So I'm not. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about them maybe tomorrow. And I do have a quote. Life involves passions, faiths, doubts, and courage. Joshua Royce. Some of the finest moral institutions come to quite humble people. The visiting of lofty ideas doesn't depend on formal schooling. Alfred North Whitehead. And one more. I probably hold the distinction of being one movie star who, by all laws of logic, should have never made it. At each stage of my career, I lacked experience. Audrey Hepburn.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
But I wish everybody a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you for having a great discussion today, guys. And thank you, Dwayne, for having me. And I may be in a sushi mood at 1:30. Are you there?
I will be there.
Okay.
I will be there today.
I may see
and
you.
Maybe this will be one of the days where you get to see Nicolas Cage, and you'll see mix with the stars, how nicely I mix with the stars. Hey Nick, do you mind? Can you get me a little water or something? Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
And maybe you could make David an Oasis mixtape. You know, he had listened to in his car.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the office.
That'd be fabulous.
I'm gonna bring my camera.
Yeah, but Dwayne, they don't have 8-track. I don't know if they don't do the 8-track players anymore. If she does it, it's gonna have to be in some new medium.
Okay.
I still can't believe I never heard that song. I have never
heard that song. It's not even remotely familiar to me, and I'm very good with remembering.
You guys got to go on YouTube immediately. I command thee. When you hang up this radio show, you've got to go to YouTube. You've got to listen to the whole song. I mean, yeah. I know it talks about getting high, guys, but grow up. That was, come on. Everybody's out there pointing their finger at me. Ooh, he said we should listen to a song about getting high. I did say listen to it, but it's the song and the time and the era that it speaks of.
It's a period piece.
I'm just in awe that, number one, you remember the words, you can actually find the song, and then you can say the date. That just blows my mind.
Well, you know what, Dwayne, I want to, in Dwayne's defense, I want to say something, because this was a big thing for a while, and I'm sorry, I hope this doesn't offend any of the women. It shouldn't, anybody who has common sense. But for a number, back in the 90s, for a number of months or maybe even a year, a bunch of women's groups got together, and they were complaining about the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at the amusement park, Disneyland, because there's a scene in the Pirates of the Caribbean, which is one of the most fabulous rides ever created. So wonderful. Everybody who's been in it loves it. Because there's a scene where men are chasing women around. And the women's groups were up in arms because they just couldn't get enough of telling people how they have to run their lives, because this was encouraging violence against women. And it's a period piece. This is history. This is what was happening. That's why they're showing it. This is how it used to be. People can understand that. And so, in the same way, sometimes on the radio station you're going to hear something, somebody's going to bring something up, it may not, fit in everything, but it has to do with, think of it in those terms. Anyway, that just reminded me of that when you were saying that about, the smoking the pot and all that stuff. And
I didn't say anything about smoking pot.
Well, getting high. How do you get high?
Okay, so now we know how you get high. All right.
Well,
cat's out of the bag.
Cats. Well, I was only referring to the...
I got you. Hey, guys, yeah, you're right. My charts are not updating. I got to figure out. Something must have come unplugged somewhere. What's the lowest – what's the last print on the S&P?
We're down at 50. The low is 55.25. We're trading at 58.25.
Gems, crickets, man, another great tweet at 64. I'm just kidding. That was pretty good. What price are we at? I got to figure out what happened to
our chart. We're at 58.25. The market a low of 55.25. That's what I was saying earlier. We've broke the new low.
Okay, guys, so we did that. We came down through that. So John, who brought up this tweet at 64, if it was still valid, thank you for that. And I got a chance to remind folks. So it did. It took out this low. it spiked through the zone. Now, we've got, of course, another zone below us, and it's late enough in the week. I can probably just go ahead and – is it already on my chart? If we continue on the downside, our next zone below us is at 46, 47.
And just for the record, our system went long at 56.25. Just a short while ago, based on the completion of that. So we'll see how this plays out. There should be a bounce here, and we're trading it. But, you know, these
so
are
you're
just
long at what, 66 quarter? Is that what you
50, said? 56.25.
56 quarter, okay.
56 and a quarter. We've made a swing low now of 55 and a quarter, and we're up at 58.75. We'll see if they can bounce from here. But, you know, all of these different trades, whether they're longer term, short term, or whatever, always use a stop. There are going to be situations where you get into a trade where you get stopped out and the trade still does what you expected it to do. And that's just part of trading. Nobody's doing that to you. Nobody knows where your stop is. Nobody cares. That's the beautiful thing. Nobody really cares. It's just the markets. So you just learn to trade them and operate from that perspective. And you can save yourself all the grief of trying to figure out if it's an evil trading computer and or if it's individuals huddled in a huddle trying to figure out how to get your last dollar. They're not. They're trying to get their first dollar. They're not out there doing that. And nobody cares. That's the big thing. Nobody really cares about your position. It may look like they do, but learn to deal with that as a reality. It's not really that way. So anyway, so that's basically it, Dwayne. I'll leave you to your own resources and songs from the past that no one seems to recognize, and I'll go listen to it. It's funny that you remembered that phrase from the song as well. Not only is the song obscure, but that phrase is inside that song and obscure, and you remembered
it. He's a music encyclopedia. He really is a music encyclopedia. That's the bottom line. I'm the worst. I'm totally the opposite of that. And he is just the music encyclopedia. I do remember a song if I've heard it, but I can't tell you the artist. I can't tell you the year. I can't tell you a phrase. But he is the music encyclopedia. Amazing, amazing. That's great. That's actually terrific.
Got to justify this luxurious mane.
There you go. Yes, you do.
Rock on. All right. All right, guys.
Dwayne,
have a great afternoon.
Sometimes I wonder, Dwayne, I think I could cut some of your hair off, roll it up, and smoke it, and I would get pretty high. That's what I think.
I would just get stronger. All right, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you very much. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Have okay. a great day.
Thank you, Robin.
Bye.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What time it was.
Robin says, great show. It must be the moon. Maybe it is. I don't know. Do we have a full moon or something? I haven't been outside lately. I'm just kidding. I was outside last night, late, right about the time I sent out that tweet to fade the original tweet to get in at 70 for the ride to 73 so you could then run to the bathroom before you had to get back in at 74 for the... So, I'm sorry I can't show you how this thing played out over here because my charts, I guess there is a malfunction on the DT Pro platform. So, Bert, please fix my charts. Thank you. Three quarter full moon. Okay, any questions on anything, guys? Otherwise, I'm going to cut on out of here. Partners meeting tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Now, we released the new indicator last Thursday night to the partners. Now, it's not it is a new indicator, but all it does is harness the energy of the other indicators. In other words, instead of you having to check and see if three or four things are all, lining up in one direction, this thing just checks it for you. And it's a computer, so it's pretty accurate. And then it gives you a reading based on, you know, the orange or the black candle, yes, they are all lined up long, or yes, they're all lined up short. Okay, so then you know if you're trading with a consensus of the various indicators. It's pretty clever, and it seems to be working out well. And individual partners are finding different little nuances and things that they're doing with it, and so traders have been sharing that with Michael over the course of the week, and I think Michael is trying to compile that information so that tomorrow night he'll be able to share with you those different little, and that's exactly what we wanted. That's the power of community. That's the power of the hive mind. You know, like-minded traders coming together. We are a community of believers who trade for a living, and so when we come together and think together, we grow together, we profit together, it's a wonderful thing. And so whenever I see you guys digging in and participating and sharing, I mean, that's been happening since we began the partner program, but I've really seen you come together over this last one, and that's just fantastic. If you're on the free trial and you want to be in the partners meeting tomorrow night, you've got to get your paperwork out of the way. Now, I'm going to tell you, we have a philosophy here, no trader left behind. Okay? What more can I say? We've gone out of our way to find many options that will allow you, if you are ready to learn how to trade, if you're sick and tired of chasing gurus and magical indicators and mystical time frames and things that go cluck in the night, if you're just sick of that and you don't want to play those games anymore, you just want to be able to sit down, look at a chart, and assess whether or not there is a trade set up or a trade setting up. And if there is, to be able to get into the trade, manage the trade, and get out of the trade without having to ask anybody anything. I mean, I'm not saying you should cut yourself off from the rest of the world. You still want to have friends and be, you know, hopefully still be a part of the community. But, you know, at some point in time, I'll probably retire. I don't know. My wife will make me. I don't know. I enjoy my work, so I'll go down fighting. Someday, Michael will probably want to retire. And if you're much younger than us, well, who's going to carry the torch? Who's going to guide the way? Who's going to, you know, who's going to tell you when to get in and when to get out? That's my point. It doesn't matter who you're following. You know, what guru, where? I mean, what if that guy, God forbid, he got hit by a bus tomorrow, whoever he is? Then what, now what are you going to do? Okay? You got to learn how to trade. You need to take your future, your financial destiny into your own hands. You need to be able to look at a chart, any chart, and see if there's a trade. If there is, you need to be able to figure out what's a good price to get in, how to manage the thing while you're in it, when you should be thinking about heading for the exit. Okay? This is not a spectator sport. I mean, it can be, and many people do that very thing. They turn it into a spectator sport. I'm encouraging you, whether you become a CFRN partner or not, I'm encouraging you to learn how to trade somewhere, some way, somehow, okay? Roll up your sleeves and get busy, okay? Time is flying by. The older I get, the faster time. When I was a kid, I remember my mom telling me, son, the older you get, the faster time goes by. And I remember thinking, Mom, that's crazy talk. A day is 24 hours, period. That's never going to change. But for those of you who are north of 40, and I know many of you are north of 50, you know it's true. Every day you get up, it seems as though time passes quicker and quicker and quicker. And there's a reason for that, and David explains it very well. He's the first time I ever heard it explained in this way, and I thought he did a great job. Years ago, he talked about our time horizon. The older we get, the larger our reference of time. See, like when we're 5 years old, 6 months seems like an eternity, or even 3 months. Well, let's go with when you're 7 years old and it's summer vacation. That 3 months that you're out of school for summer vacation after the first grade, that's a huge block of time. That's a significant portion or percentage of your entire life. That's at seven. All right? But by the time you get to be 50, your time horizon is so huge that, you know, some of us, it takes 3 months to have our morning constitution, or so it seems. Right? You with me? Time stands still for no man. So, I mean, if you want to learn how to trade, get busy. Don't put it off. We believe in no trader left behind. If you really want to learn how to trade, even in futures, we've got options, okay? We got options. So, the you know, if you don't have the time, okay, I can't give you time. If you need financing or you need some kind of arrangements made, we have, as I said, a number of ways that no trader has to be left behind. All right, but you gotta pick up the phone. You gotta call us. You gotta let us know. You gotta kind of let me know that you're serious about this thing, okay? Because that's what we want. We want people who've been around the block. You're never gonna hear us tell anybody they should quit their day job and become a day trader. No, sir. We don't do that. What we deal with mostly are traders who have a limp, traders who maybe already quit their job, or they retired, or they sold their business, and they've already tried trading. They've been through the stocks, they've been in the options, they've been in the futures, and they've got a limp because it just, nobody ever bothered to teach them how to trade. They gave them gimmicks, they gave them, you know, crazy stuff and crazy talk, and we just teach you the basics, you know. The biggest secret there is about the market, you ready for this? The biggest secret is there is no secret. That's it. That's the secret. Shh. I'm serious. Tell your neighbor, there is no secret. Okay? It's an auction style market. There's buyers on one side, there's sellers on the other side, and price is relative to what the consensus of people, you know, the majority of people think today is a bargain. Okay? There were some people who thought 1685 was a really good price for an S&P 500 E-mini contract today. And so they were buying them up. But suddenly at 1686, something happened and people decided, whoa, that's not a good price and I don't want to own this thing. We dropped 15 points in a matter of minutes. The hive mind shifted. It's like that school of fish that you see, you know, in the tranquil ocean, in the ocean waters down in the Caribbean. They're just gliding along, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, they turn and they go. That's what happened this morning at 1685 and change in the S&P 500 E-mini futures. That school of fish headed the other way quick. If you were long when that happened and you had a stop loss in place, not a problem. You got stopped out. That's all. You live to trade another day. If you didn't have a stop and you're now down, gosh, I don't know what, 20 points or something, you're in a lot of pain, okay? Don't do that to yourself. You know, if you did it today, then let that be your one lesson, okay? Good news is you don't ever have to repeat that again. You don't ever have to feel that pain again, because from this day forward, you'll always trade with a hard stop. Yeah, but I get stopped out a lot if I do that. Exactly. That's why you use them, so that you do get stopped out. And I know you think you're probably that one guy who always, he'd go, I always get stopped out of the tick. Really? Because if that's true, then you've got one heck of a trading strategy there, and I'll pay you real money for your strategy. Because if you always get stopped out to the tick, I can turn that into a profit machine, an ATM, a one-armed bandit, and I'm holding the gun. If you always get stopped out to the tick, that's a moneymaker. Just flip it around and go. Nobody can stop you. That make sense? All right. Okay. Let me look at the chat box and then bid you all adieu. See if there's any questions. If you ask a question and I did not address it, there's a huge scroll here, so just type it in again real quick. I'll hang out for 60 seconds. And if it's long, type in, I'm typing, hit enter, and then I'll wait for you. All right, I'm not seeing anything. And my charts haven't kicked back in yet. Maybe I should log off and log back on. Okay, John's going to give us an update on the charts. Leslie says, somebody give me a price update too, please, if your charts are running. S&P 500 E-mini futures, June contract, last print. Okay, John says, DT Pro's down. Techs are working on it. I could launch my other platform, but I don't really. 1658. Thank you very much, Eugene. Okay, Dan says 1658 quarter. Okay. All right, so right here, pretty much where I've got this line at. Okay, that's where we are. And that area, that zone served as good support right here and right here. Okay, this was Sunday night. Monday morning, this zone served as good support. Tuesday, this zone served as good support. And now today, from what you guys tell me, price is right below here. Do we have an hourly close below the zone yet? Can somebody tell me, has there been an hourly close below 59? Now, I need you to read to me off of a Globex chart, a 24-hour chart. Has there been an hourly candle close below 1659? No. Thank you, Charles, very much. Eugene says, not yet. Okay, guys, now you know why I'm asking that question, right? Even though I can't see price right now, if we get an hourly close below 59, that opens the door for us to go down potentially to the next zone below us at 4647, okay? If we close inside of the zone or above the zone, and we still got 23 minutes left in this hour, if we close in the zone or above the zone, then we may have found support, okay, just like we did Monday and Tuesday. That may be our support for the day. And now we'll climb, okay, into the close. That's one scenario. If, on the other hand, we close below 59, then we have to start thinking about the possibility that we're going to put in new lows for the week. Ooh, Dan said it's going down fast right now. Man. And I can't see it. Is it just the S&P that's down or everything? Let me try the YM. I could navigate off the Dow. I had to. Yeah. We're at 54. Okay. Now, see, Mike G says his is working fine. I guess it's whatever server that you're logged into, because this morning some folks were having problems and I wasn't having any problem at all. Mine was working just great. In fact, I took the charge from Michael during the live trading room because mine were working okay. I should log out and log back in, see if I get a different server. That might be a good idea. Okay, so John, we're down to 50. Oh, the Dow's down 50. I'm sorry, I misread what you typed in. Current price is still 59. Is that correct, guys? Current price still 59. Ron says 55. We had a low of 53 and a quarter. Wow. So, man, we've actually gotten pretty, you know, if we got all the way down, if the swing low was 53 and a quarter, if we had a swing low of 53 and a quarter, that started to sound like a, now, is that all in this hour? In this hour, we traveled all the way down in the current hourly candle? Wow. Joanna says yes. Eugene says yes. That's huge. Ooh-wee. And I'm missing all of this. That's not good. All right. Well, I can't fix anything or even launch another platform while I'm still on the show. 68.75 was the high this hour. 68.75.
and the low 53 and a quarter. Is that 14 points? Now remember this doji up here this morning. This doji, when I counted, I think that was about 15 points. Giovanni says the hour, the high was 1668, the low 5350. So is that roughly 15? That's roughly 15 points. So we had a 15-point candle this morning, and we're getting another 15-point candle now. And, I mean, what's the fuel? The Fed said that they were going to keep playing nice, unless there was something in those Fed notes that I haven't heard yet, that I haven't gone out and actually read the notes, but I've been watching headlines scroll by, and I didn't see anything alarming. So, All right. Well, I'm going to go, guys, because now I'm just frustrated. So, I'm not mad at you, though. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.